All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Friday, November 24th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Hey, happy Black Friday, buddy. Are we having any Black Friday sales today or no?
No.
Oh, bummer. Sorry, everybody. Sorry that we couldn't get that together. Anyway, Black Friday, DFSR.com/NBA. We'll get you.
We don't want it. We don't want to take advantage of their inner nature that causes them just to want to spend more and more and more and more. We want to appeal to their inner side, their thankful side, not their consumerist, you know, me side. That being said, yeah, please go buy it, because, you know, we also got to buy really expensive gifts for our kids for Christmas. So.
Yeah, how am I going to go shopping on Black Friday unless you guys sign up over at dmsr.com/NBA. We'll get you going for a free 3-day. We don't have to pay for the first 3 days, though, so you can go test it out over the weekend, and then just $34.95 a month after that covers everything that we put up on the site: projections, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NBA, NFL, base projections for NHL as well. So go check that out, dmsr.com/NBA. Buddy, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you get your full of football fans? Family, food,
three F's.
How would you grade each one of the three F's?
Thanksgiving. They were, so family wise, I would say we got a decent one. We're with my wife's family in New Jersey, so that's lovely. Food was solid. Yeah, solid across the board. Football was pretty boring. I don't know what you thought about the football, but the football generally sucked, to say nothing of the fact that in the old, we did the George Costanza of going through our discussions. We would want to play our pre-football podcast and what we thought was going to happen. Let's put it that way. So the football, I would
go check that out.
That would be
podcast.
The fourth F of the week, the day for me.
Good. We'll be recording a game-by-game football podcast as well today after we finish NBA. But this was, let's talk about some basketball. Pretty full Friday here in the NBA. Random 12 o'clock noon Eastern game between the Blazers and the Nets. I'm not exactly sure why that game is being played then at that time. The NBA doesn't seem to ever do that, but hey, it's Friday, and there's a random new game. We're going to kind of skip over that and kind of go game by game. 7:30 slate is, so it's a half hour later than usual, but we're going to go through those games of the 7:30 main slate and kind of just take a look at some of the injury news that we have to concern ourselves with, who some of the upside plays are, and so on and so forth. So New York goes in and plays Atlanta. Knicks coming off a pretty big win the other night, where Hardaway put up a huge, huge, huge game. He's a guy that every once in a while kind of creeps up and kind of busts it out of the box, and then seems like he can just completely disappear. Anything you like here on the Knicks side? They seem kind of like, from a scoring perspective, they're basically a two-man team between Hardaway and Porzingis. But do you think either of those guys are worth it in cash games against a pretty bad defensive Atlanta team?
Yeah, Porzingis is always going to be, you know, in consideration for our lineups just because of what he can do on a points per minute basis. And as evidenced in the last couple of games, the minutes are really the question. And it's really been that way since he arrived in New York. You know, he's another one of these guys who can lose minutes for a number of reasons. Game script, they're happy to pull him because for whatever reason, I think they're just worried that he's tall or something. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. Foul trouble can happen to big men disproportionately as compared to small guys. And the Knicks are involved in a fair amount of blowouts because they're not a very good team. So there's always some risk with Porzingis. I do think in this Atlanta game, though, their defense down low, same reason we like Blake the other day, their defense down low is probably not equipped to hang with Porzingis. So it's really just a minutes question tonight. And if you believe in the minutes, and I think he gets there.
On the Atlanta side, it looks like they are going to be without Babbitt and Muscala again tonight. And when that happened on Wednesday, we saw John Collins get a ton of minutes. He was pretty chalky, all things considered. The price didn't really move a lot, and he played like something like 38 or 39 minutes. Do you think he's in line for that kind of – yeah, it's the last two games. The first one, when Babbitt got hurt, he played 36 off the bench, and then last game of the start played 37 minutes. Do you see him being like pretty much a chalk play at power forward today, just considering the price and the opportunity?
Yeah, he fills the exact role that Atlanta needs to. They really don't have anyone else who's tall and reasonably athletic. So the fact that he can go in there and kind of flirt with that double-double on a game-to-game basis in 35-plus minutes means that I think his role is pretty secure. What rates to be a somewhat close game, the Knicks are also not super strong defensively down low. So I think Collins, yeah, the price is up about 10% over last game, but still almost certainly underpriced compared to his, you know, his peers at this price range, and also just the current paradigm for FanDuel pricing.
Yeah, only 4,800 on DraftKings. I think he's reasonable there. And like I said, especially when you have to roster two power forwards, the 5,700 is kind of, we talked about this before, 5,700 is kind of like the new punt play, right? Outside of just the complete come out of nowhere, last second guy gets scratched. And then, and this has to be usually be a guy that just even hasn't even played at all this year too. Like, so because at this point, even if you played, your price is starting to come up in any.
Yeah, like if Collins loses his starting job, he's just going to stay 5,500 for 3 months until he gets it again, you know, like, so.
It sure seems like it. Yeah. And he'll just play enough off the bench. So these guys, like the guys that we have some kind of track record on at this point, the FanDuel algorithms are at least are, the DraftKings has always kind of done this, but FanDuel is definitely correcting for if you just play it all off the bench so that when the guy does get the random start, he's not just the complete 3,000. Anyways, Collins does fit that mold. I don't mind Schrader in this matchup too. The Knicks really don't defend anything well, especially they don't really defend the point guard position. They don't defend anything well, and the point guard position is included in that as well. So I don't mind him. He's, you know, 7,400. It's a little probably steep on FanDuel. I like the DraftKings price though, 6,600. I can see him being not a lock for cash games at that price, but in strong consideration over there. So keep going here with the 7:30 games. Orlando goes in and takes on Boston. Boston with a decent total here. I mean, they're -8.5 with a 210 over under. There's no real injury news on this, except that last game they did start Aaron Baines and brought Marcus Morris off the bench. It didn't really matter. Baines got the start, but it was kind of in that old, the Boston's kind of always done this with time. Like, you know, they did it with Amir Johnson last year. They'll start this random kind of power forward center type just to play them like 13 total minutes. It's like what Golden State does with Pachulia, right? Like, they just kind of start him. He's a placeholder. They want him out there just to keep their other bench rotations going. And then it doesn't, like, people got excited that Aaron Baines was starting last game. And I was like, don't get excited. He's just not going to play.
Through this season, as to what their plan is there. Just not
right. Exactly. So I'm like, this isn't like not a new situation. We have Brad Stevens, a long track record with these kind of guys. So I wouldn't get too excited, even if they said he's going to start again. After that, you know, Boston plays pretty slow. What do you like in this game?
I don't like anything, I'm pretty sure. Boston, it just almost single-handedly kills opposing teams. If you look at the guys in our system today, they just look completely horrendous. Every guy on Orlando, worse than the next, pretty much, especially on a medium to larger size slate. I guess you could potentially consider Evan Fournier if the money were to shake out perfectly, but other than that, Orlando looks like a pretty big skip. And on the Boston side, it doesn't look much better, to be honest. I mean, some of these guys that are good, like Kyrie, are probably a little bit too expensive for their average production, and Orlando doesn't represent enough of a fast-paced matchup or a good enough matchup that it makes that big a difference. And then other guys, you know, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, these guys just aren't really solid contributors at their current FanDuel price points, mostly because they're overpriced based on older opportunity when they used to get more run. The one guy I think that could see some run here tonight, though, is Jason Tatum, you know, playing 34 to 37 minutes in the last couple games. If that's his true rotation and the game manages to stay close, 6,000-ish could be something of a bargain on him, but I think that's, for me, kind of where it stops for Boston.
Yeah, for sure. You know, their scoring is not completely concentrated, but you know, Kyrie handles a lot of that. He's become slightly a different player this season, which has been not refreshing, because we kind of knew he was always good, but he just is playing a different style of ball now that he's kind of running the show.
It's good for his basketball purposes.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, the assists are up a little bit. The scoring has clearly been there, you know, 23, 47, 30 over the last three games. And he's just 8,500. And he really, I mean, for some of the improvements he's made too, he still doesn't do a ton in the rest of the box score. Like, for 8,500, the rebounds really aren't there at all. Like I said, the assists for a point guard are fine-ish, but he needs to be doing more. And you know, the steals will come every once in a while, but so to pay 8,500 for him, I think you are asking for some downside, just because he doesn't really pack the box score just like some of his other peers do. Sure. One game that does have some injury news that's probably relevant is Charlotte and Cleveland, with Nick Batum being questionable right now. He left the game early with a elbow contusion last game, and he's questionable to play now. My guess is, we have, considering it's only a half hour after game time and he's already kind of on the injury report, I suspect that we have this information before the 7:30 slate starts. And I think it matters too, not so much for Batum, although I'll be honest with you, Batum actually is a decent price over on DraftKings too, 6,200 on DraftKings against a Cleveland team that's just pretty much bottom of the basement in terms of defense, though they've slightly improved. You know, if Charlotte was going to play without Batum, would we just go back to what they were looking at like in the early season, like with Jeremy Lamb, guys like that getting minutes? Would we slot them in? And then if Batum did play, would you feel comfortable with some of his prices on some of these sites?
I don't want to play Batum. No, I think Batum, you know, he's a guy that we've seen countless times just go out there, leave games early, just play poorly or be totally absent from the offense. Like, remember when he had that wrist injury, he would go whole games without shooting, it felt like. So I think 6,500 is probably a little bit too rich to invest in Batum. I do think if he misses, I mean, Jeremy Lamb went out there, played 37 minutes, even in a game where Batum got 12 minutes. And I think he would be a chalk play and a really good play at that. So definitely keep an eye out for Jeremy Lamb. Outside of that, though, you know, this is another game where our system is just kind of looking at it and shrugging its shoulders. The Cleveland guys, they're either too expensive, like LeBron, for what amounts to a pretty slow matchup, or they're just kind of bad and play inconsistent minutes. To be honest, while you were talking there for a second, I double checked the system because this is not three games in a row where the overall points per dollar totals look really bad. But are these three first games, including this one, all just kind of meh when it comes to DFS value?
Well, I mean, LeBron's just so expensive now. 11.9 on FanDuel is just really, really, really expensive for him. And I think that's
where embarrassingly expensive for him. That's just too much.
I mean, he's by far the highest like projected points guy at small forward for us, right? So it's not for lack of being low on him. And really just in terms of overall. And just in terms of overall projected points right now, it's Cousins, Davis, and then LeBron. So it's not like I wouldn't think we're like low on his projection. It's just that he's the most expensive guy that you can pay for now. And I think when that happens,
you just can't pay $12,000 for 50 fantasy points. That's just not a good deal. Right. You know, like you can go into the car dealership and they say, here's the best car we have. It's a Mercedes-Benz S-Class. You're like, wow, this is the best car in the lot. That's excellent. How much does it cost? They're like $300,000. You'd be like, well, maybe right. Can I see the next best car? Because that's too much for how much this car is normally worth. So yeah, I mean, just look at LeBron's game log. When was the last time you had been happy with a $12,000 price tag? I guess the Milwaukee game, you'd be marginally happy. Obviously his game against Washington, you'd be pretty psyched with. But other than that, it's just not really a $12,000 player.
And I think, and with the rest of this team, you just still run into this problem of what they're going to do with their minutes. Guys like Love can kind of creep toward 30. Sometimes every once in a while, if the matchup just strikes everything correctly, he'll go out there and play 34, 35. And then some games he'll just get 27, 28 minutes, right? And like, so it's because Ty Lue just keeps in whatever kind of hot hand he's rolling off the bench. And that's kind of just the problem with a lot of these guys. Crowder has that problem. They're starting Calderon. That doesn't really matter. He's kind of just a placeholder. Wade has played some minutes off the bench. He's really still tough to trust his minutes off the bench. He's never going to go really more than 30 minutes. So I just think all in all, because the concentration of most of the fantasy point scoring is around LeBron or some of these like other one-off hot shooting performances by guys like Jeff Green off the bench or like Korver every once in a while, like you just really can't trust much out here on this Cleveland side, even though the matchup does look good and they have a crazy high total for this slate. I think their total is something like it might be the highest outside of the Golden State game. Yep. But so I think overall, I take that back. There is no line in this game. I'm seeing kind of conflicting reports. Either way, I suspect they come in with one of the higher lines of the game. It's just very difficult to trust, and I don't think you get paid. And I have no problem fading LeBron at this point.
There are sites that are offering a line right now, and they would have the highest total outside of Golden State.
Yeah, okay, for those sites. That makes sense then. And I still think that we're probably going to be probably pretty bearish on them overall, though. There's some chance that our projections on them come up a little bit, especially if this line comes in higher than where we have it based off in the system. All right, 8:00.
Before you move on, one other guy we didn't touch on too much. What about Dwight in this game? Dwight is kind of another guy like Love whose minutes sort of come and go. Our system generally hates him at this price point. We also have him for only 30 minutes. He's another guy that can go out there and in the right matchup play, 34, 35 minutes. And Tristan Thompson's not playing here, so Cleveland legit has no one to cover the center position besides Kevin Love, but LOL on his ability to cover Dwight Howard. Any chance you want to run him, even if it's just for big tourneys?
He's been awesome the last three games. 37 minutes last game, and he went 26-13, took an unbelievable 25-20 against the Timberwolves on just 30 minutes two games ago. And then you just see this long list of 30 minutes, 29 minutes, 27, 23, 27. Like, this guy plays less than 30 a lot more than he plays more than 30. So that's my really only concern. I mean, we have him at 30 minutes. I think that's fair. And I can see him being a big tournament play that, like you said, destroys the interior of the Cavs. But they're also big underdogs, and he's just not going to be the guy that's out there if they're playing catch up, right? So, like, if they're down 10 going into the fourth quarter, that's the end. I think that's the end of you seeing Dwight on the court, right? Like, they're going to play guys like Kaminsky and Marvin Williams just because they're going to need some 3-point shooting. So,
they also don't need Dwight's defense, too. Like, if they're down, it's not like Cleveland really has anyone to punish them on the post. So, I think you're right. He has a minutes risk from that perspective, too.
Right, they'll just catch him in switches, and he's just going to be just completely. But I mean, again, it's only I'm seeing a -6 line, so maybe the blowout's not as big a concern. He's a guy that we'll definitely evaluate as the day goes on. Detroit goes in and plays OKC. OKC coming off a big win against Golden State the other night, where they seem to get their things seem to be starting to click for them a little better. Now this is a slower matchup. We've seen Westbrook's price come up. He was under 10,000 for a short stretch, or right around 10,000.
Black Friday sale on Westbrook. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, so last three games or last two games, two basically a triple double against Golden State and then an easy triple double against the Pelicans. Do you think you could go back to Westbrook in this matchup? Detroit's kind of slow and good on defense, but I think we still could be buying low on Westbrook.
You could. Yeah. I mean, I think if you buy that, he's still one of the top three usage guys in the NBA, right? In spite of this, you know, new cast of characters that surround him. So I think we could be buying low on Westbrook at 10-6. You could definitely see him rise back up to that 12K LeBron range by the time the season's over. It's just a question of whether tonight's the night to do that. Our system doesn't think it is. It sees him sort of as a reasonable big money option, but nothing special whatsoever. And that's just because of the slow pace of the game. I mean, it's not very often that you'll want to pay 10-6 for a guy in a game with a 203 total. You know, like that's just not... You know, you have to be a pretty special fantasy player for that to be the case. And Westbrook this season, while he's been very good, he's averaging 48 fantasy points a game, which is really just nothing special on 10-6 in the first place. So I think if you take those factors together, I mean, maybe you overweight recent performance with him because he is kind of that streaky, you know, very emotionally driven player, it seems to me. But I think overall, you can probably find better value elsewhere.
Yep, I agree. This is not a matchup that really stands out to me on paper, outside of they just have, you know, the OKC guys are there. They're all kind of fairly priced. We bought a little bit low on Melo last game against Golden State. That price has come up just a little bit as well. So like he's up to almost 7,000. We had him at like 6,500 against Golden State, which struck me as a pretty good deal. And now it's just kind of, moving just 10% or 5% at this point in terms of your price can kind of just take you from a good play to a bad play pretty quickly. And Melo kind of fits that category for me. All right, hit us up with a sponsor and then we'll keep rolling through some of these games.
You know, talk about draftboard.com. Draftboard is our newest sponsor here at DFSR, and they're doing a lot of really cool things that I think you should probably want to pay attention to, especially if you're not one of these sharks putting in hundreds of lineups every single night. Draftboard does a lot to protect people from kind of getting preyed upon by the bigger fish in the DFS ecosystem. So what they do is, like, for instance, with head-to-heads, they have random pairing. They also give you a free dollar to play with, so you can check out the software. Every weekend for football, they give away $10,000 to someone who scores the highest overall total of their season so far. So yeah, check out draftboard.com. You can get started with promo code DFSR and get going playing on a cool site for players without tons and tons of money to spend and maybe lose.
Moving into Miami, goes in to play Minnesota. Minnesota -4.5 favorite, 209 total in this one. Minnesota's a team, really, we've said it all year, they play very, very steady minutes. Their guys are very consistent. And because of that, it's very difficult to find value on these guys. Like Towns is a guy, when you look at coefficient of variation, among the top 10, nah, probably even more, the top 20 highest scoring players on an average fantasy basis, Towns is the most consistent guy. And I think some people would be sort of surprised by that number, but he just plays his minutes every night and kind of just does the same thing every night. And he's just almost always too expensive. I can't remember the last time I, for cash games, at least played Towns. Like, are you feeling that way? It's not like I don't want to, but it just seems like he's always just a couple hundred bucks too high and the matchup's just not quite there. Like, does that make sense? Like, do you have the same feeling about some of these guys on Minnesota?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think in Minnesota and on this slate generally, it's kind of been something I've been thinking about for a while now. I think that right now, FanDuel basketball in particular is in this weird transitionary phase where I think their algorithm is heading towards Towns' pricing being sort of the default pricing, where he's averaging basically 4.5x per game this season on this price. And that's kind of what you're seeing from big money guys. Like I mentioned, Westbrook, LeBron at 12K, you know, expensive plays are sort of getting less attractive for whatever reason. And you wind up getting value by finding guys that have kind of slipped through the cracks. But I think as the season progresses, you're going to see more guys in this price range. It's just that Towns has, and mostly Minnesota in general, aside from maybe Taj Gibson, have kind of trended in this direction where you can't just look down their game log and be like, wow, look at this, 5X, 5X, 6X on this price. Sure, jam this guy in and let's go. Towns is just not that. I mean, he's scoring less than 4X on this price routinely recently. So almost matchup independent, you're just not going to play him at 9,300.
Yep, I agree. And it's kind of the same thing with Wiggins. It's kind of the same thing with Teague. And this is what happens when you see teams, especially with Tom Thibodeau as your coach, where you just get the same minutes out of the same guys basically every single night. And with Butler too. Yeah, he's trended to be a little cheaper, mostly because he had some performance issues in the short term as well. So that's kind of where I land with most of these Minnesota guys. There will be times, I think there will be a time that we're going to play him, like a 2 or 3 game bad run from a guy like Towns possibly, and maybe the price drops. And because he's getting cheaper, he's under 10,000 here on FanDuel, 9,300. If he was at 9,000 or something like that, I think we'd be a lot more interested in it. As it stands, there's probably just some other better center value out there. Anything else you like here, Miami side of the ball? They don't really have any. I tend to like look at Miami more when they have like an injury concern. They don't seem to have any of that for this game. Anything interesting there? Dragic, any of their starters for Miami?
Yeah, Dragic was the one guy that I think the price hasn't quite caught up to yet. I think in a normal game where Miami does the things that they're hoping to do, he plays 34 to 37 minutes a game. He is a good time of possession guy just because this team has so few ball handlers. And I think he's run a little bit you know, just a little bit poorly recently. So he's averaging 5x points per game on his price so far this season. This matchup is really nothing to write home about necessarily, but I think he's just represent kind of a solid good value. So I could see playing him in cash games. Don't think there's a ton of upside for big tournaments, but yeah, for cash games, I think he's definitely, you know, part of that small group of people I'll consider at the point guard position.
Yeah, system liked him actually against Boston, and he had a great first half and then kind of slowed down. He still was good. He still paid something like 6x on his price in what's usually a pretty bad matchup typically with Boston. I do think he's a guy right now when we run lineups, it's still very early in the day, so these things just change pretty drastically just with even like a little shred of news. But right now he's sitting in the top FanDuel lineup. It's, I think it might end up being close on Dragic, and then I'm not sure we really want to look much else in the direction.
Yeah, and Miami, real quick on the news thing, because right now there is almost no news, injury news, outside of the Nick Batum thing. Also keep in mind that yesterday was Thanksgiving, and there wasn't a lot of basketball reporting going on yesterday in general, so I wouldn't be surprised if more news comes out during the day. So, you know, just understand that today's a little bit of a weird day when it comes to that sort of thing.
That's a great call. I wasn't even thinking about that because I was too busy thinking about Thanksgiving. Toronto and Indiana. Toronto, they're starting to become this team that, like, outside of DeRozan and Lowry, I don't know how you trust any single thing that they're doing with their rotations. Valanciunas plays, he starts, he plays 18 minutes a game. Anunoby started the other day, barely played. Like Siakam came in and played. Ibaka's not a guy they seem all that enamored with playing. They did get Norman Powell back. There's just some of these teams that fall into this category of just minutes mess, I call it. Like when you're just trying to look at and figure out where they're going. And sometimes when that's the case, I kind of just set a lot of guys to like a minute lower than their average and just kind of call it a day, because you just can't really trust. Do you have the same kind of feelings about Toronto and what could be a good fantasy matchup? It's not like Indiana is any good on defense it's just very difficult to find where some of the value on Toronto is.
Yeah, well, a guy to keep an eye on, at least for big tournaments, is Pascal Siakam. He actually played more minutes than Ibaka last game in spite of Ibaka returning, now 34, 31 and 28 minutes. He didn't totally blow the roof off on this price point even in the 28 minutes against New York, but I think it looks like they might be thinking what I was thinking on the last podcast, which is I just don't know what Ibaka does better than Siakam at this point. Like Ibaka just strikes me as right. You know, and I hate, this is like actually a huge pet peeve of mine, but I actually do really wonder if Ibaka might be older than people realize, because he just looks nothing like the guy he was on Oklahoma City back in the day. He just looks like kind of an old man that just does almost nothing offensively, and even the defense is kind of suspect at this point. But yeah, I think it's concentrated onto DeRozan and Lowry. You know, there's not really a whole lot we can do with it now, but just another case where there was a lot of money to be had, and understanding that those two very consistent players were just suffering from like random weird early season stuff that tends to happen. And so people like us, although we didn't even capitalize as much as some people, but knowing that could have made you a lot of money. But now that they're 8,000 and 9,000, there's really not a lot left at that table. So yeah, I think unfortunately Toronto is pretty much, outside of that Ibaka Siakam thing, which, you know, I think could go either way and you want to keep an eye on, I think they're kind of just efficiently priced.
Yeah, we were buying a little bit low on Lowry for just a very short period of time when he kind of did come out of it. And then like you said,
well, he was like at 7,000 and stuff for a while. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
Right. And then the shooting, like we said, I actually had some questions about whether the shooting was going to come back to fully back to the form that he shot last year. Cause like his shooting this year was more in line with what he had done for his career. But then it is ticking back up to starting to look like what he did last year might be actually what his true, especially 3-point shooting stands to be going forward. So he's back up to 40% from three, which is better. That's actually better in the short term than his career averages. So the time to buy on Lowry, but buy cheap on Lowry is probably over. Oladipo for Indiana is coming off. He was a monster in the last game. Kind of has at times been a popular play, which I've always been a little bit surprised at. Now he's up to 8,300. Yeah. I mean, he's coming off a 73 fantasy point performance, but so much of that was on the back of 9 or 7 steals and 2 blocks. So on FanDuel, 27 points worth of defensive stats. I just don't think you can pencil a guy like that for 27 points worth of defensive stats. That being said, do you think people talk themselves into Oladipo? I feel like people have talked themselves and played Oladipo a lot more than I have this year, and at times it's been right, and at times it just feels like you're just paying way too much.
Yeah, we played a little bit of Oladipo, particularly early in the season. I think he's definitely part of the big time plan there in Indiana. And he can go off defensively from time to time. That was a revenge game, Doug, so you got to keep that in mind.
yeah, that's like two. That's two steps away from revenge. Like it was like that was like two stops ago, right? So like I don't know when these revenge games, like Is he get revenge games against OKC and Orlando? Like, do you get the revenge against all the teams you played at? What about teams that are just like moved? Like, you know, Jose Calderon's been on every team. Is every team in a revenge game? Like, I just never understand the revenge team part. But fair enough.
I love that these guys are just like so emotionally fragile that for the most part they just don't really try or give a damn anyway when they're playing basketball. But when they come to see those jerseys of the team they used to play on, even if it's like none of the same players, like for Oladipo in Orlando right now, he just still gets so mad, sees red and goes off for 9 defensive sets. Anyways, I think Oladipo is just overpriced. That's kind of my big time analysis on him. 8,300. He's just back in that. He's like in that category with Towns and those other guys where the plan is for him to play minutes. He'll probably be okay in those minutes. And it's just too expensive to pay for what he does on average. And can he go off? Yeah, why not? Anyone can go off on any given night, but I don't think he's a favorite to any more than anyone else. Miles Turner's a guy I'm kind of like, I don't think he's obviously not good based on his current pricing, but just another guy to keep an eye on for big tournaments. Really does have that huge game in him at the $7,700 price tag. It's just that it's really been coming and going, but not a guy you want to target for cash.
Yeah, when we look at standard deviation, like I've started baking that into some like upside numbers to try to take a look at just where you're, you know, where you stand to get a guy possibly buying low on a guy that is going to have some of that huge game stuff. And Turner is a guy that shows up with that number a lot because he has it in him, and then the price kind of stays is sort of the same because he just also has some disappearing act in him, and he's just one of the higher standard deviation guys kind of around. So yes, I do like him for tournaments. Memphis, the next game actually has a decent amount of fantasy implications. Memphis is coming into the game still without Mike Conley. They've been starting and playing Mario Chalmers a ton. Tyreke Evans gets more run without Conley there. Gasol's usage goes up a little bit without Conley. There's a lot to like here. They're underdogs against Denver, and the total's pretty low. But I still think we're buying pretty low on some of these Memphis guys. I can see them being pretty popular plays, especially in cash games.
Yeah, there's a pile of Memphis guys I'm interested in tonight. I mean, you mentioned them already. I'd also throw Chandler Parsons' hat into that ring. He's been a guy that's still, you know, it's hard to say anyone is underpriced at 24 minutes a game, but I think he is potentially underpriced here, given just how kind of weird Denver is on defense. But yeah, I think basically any starter on Memphis is in play tonight, and Chalmers will be something like, you know, I don't know, a 50% start for cash games or something like that, just based on the fact that he's been so excellent. He's in that new punt territory that you mentioned. Has been paying 5x pretty routinely on this and getting a plus matchup after a slow matchup against Dallas, where he was mostly fine anyway. So yeah, I think Chalmers will be a big time play, and you'll see sprinklings of the other guys too.
Yeah, we started Gasol in cash games the other day, and it was looking, he came out of the box really strong and then just completely disappeared for the second half. It was very disappointing because he was well on his way to hitting value against Dallas, against a very weak Dallas interior, and then just they made some switches or something happened, and that was the end of his performance. He basically did nothing in the second half.
You just lose possessions against a slow team too. I mean, that'll happen against slow teams. That's why I like this matchup even better. Denver nowhere near as slow as Dallas offensively.
I was mostly going to say like that second half performance is not going to stop me from going back to Gasol today. Like, I think that's sure. Definitely yeah. What that's in the plan. That the Denver's another team now, they're without Millsap. We were a little bit confused about what they were going to do, not confused, but we were kind of wondering what their plan was going to be after they came out of the break, and then they started Fareed, and then they brought Chandler back. They started Chandler two games ago. They started Fareed, then they started Chandler last game and moved Barton to the three. Do you think we stick with that? Do you think we see that starting lineup kind of continue for them? And then does it even kind of matter? I mean, they got completely blown out by the Rockets. Like, they lost by 30 the other day on Wednesday with the starting lineup. Now the Rockets are really good, so you can't put too much on that. I do think the plan was to play these guys a ton of minutes, but do you think this matchup just kind of precludes us from doing that again because Memphis is so slow?
I'm actually grateful for this nice slow matchup so I can skip over playing the Denver guys, but I can get a better sense of what their minutes are going to be going forward, because this is like always the very, very hardest minute situation to evaluate when you get a team that has had some injury stuff, guys kind of coming and going, and they've been involved in blowouts. So you have to be like, should I really be looking at a game 7 days ago to figure out what Denver's plan is in a close game? Because that can get really tricky, you know, with basketball, hot hands, especially just Denver in general, guys like Barton, Chandler, Harris, Jokic even, like we've seen them have a love affair, to say nothing of the situation of power forward right now. We've seen them get a love affair with various guys and then fall out of love just as quickly. So hopefully this will be a close game. We don't have to play any Denver guys, and we'll get a sense for what the plan is going.
Well, right. I mean, like, they start Fareed 2 games ago, and then he gets a DMP the next game it's not like
DMP CD, no problem.
Right, exactly. Like, you started and played 19 minutes a game before. Now you're just not going to play at all. And this is just what Denver does. Now, I do think that you're not going to run into that problem with guys like Chandler and Barton. I think that those guys could end up playing just a ton. It's not like this. It's not like this is a crazy bad matchup. But then they have Gasol there to kind of front Jokic, and then the rest of these guys can kind of run with mostly wing players on this Memphis team. So I think that there's a chance you see a lot of minutes here, and I'm just not sure that you're going to get there on the implied total. Let's keep moving. We've got two more games to go here. New Orleans goes in and takes on Phoenix. This is always the spot where we're looking to buy. Just whenever someone goes into play the Suns, they have a huge total here. It's a 230 total, New Orleans -6. I feel like we're probably playing either one, or if not both, of Boogie and Davis. It's really hard to play both of them, but would this be a situation where you'd be incentivized to try to just kind of jam them both into lineups?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Phoenix, perfect combination of playing fast and bad defense and no interior defenders. So they really hit the trifecta there. The corpse of Tyson Chandler isn't scaring anyone here. Doesn't really matter if Alex Len or Greg Monroe spot him with minutes. Boogie and Davis are going to have their absolute way in this game. So if you can afford both, God bless you. It's not looking like you'll be able to, given the lack of punts as of now. But hey, something could happen on a weird Friday after Thanksgiving slate. So yeah, keep an eye on both of those guys. One guy I'm curious to know your thoughts on, though, is Drew Holiday. I mean, our system is kind of keeping an eye on him, and he's kind of been up and down on these prices in the past. So do you have any interest at all in rolling out with Drew Holiday again?
Yeah, he's like just now a shooting guard now. He's listed as a point guard, but he's basically their shooting guard with Rondo back. You know, our system's
a shooting guard on FanDuel now.
Oh, he is. I didn't realize that. Oh, okay. Well, he's still a shooting guard anyway. He's all right. He's a good spot. He's now getting Rondo back. Doesn't seem like it's going to help him, right? he's been okay in the short term. Even in the last four games where Rondo's played, the San Antonio game doesn't count. Like, that game was kind of over, but the four games he's been fine-ish, and I still think that I think you're going to continue to see just usage decline on him with Rondo kind of most likely just feeding more, like without the ball in his hands, running the first team point guard group. I think he is kind of running some of it off the second team, but I'm sort of interested only mostly because the price has dipped down, and I'm still kind of wanting to take a wait and see on what their offense is going to completely be with Rondo. I'm interested to see what you think Rondo's minutes should be. He's gotten up to 30 in the past and then kind of got buzzed off last game with the blowout. I'm thinking 30 minutes is probably what their plan is, if not more, and they've been bringing him along slowly. Do you think there's going to be some point where we just see Rondo kind of unleash and he just gets out there and just plays like a 33-minute game?
I do think so, for sure. I mean, we've seen bigger minutes out of Rondo in the past. He's also just kind of a natural fit for this team. Holiday is definitely more of a shoot-first point guard. And I think your point about Rondo hurting Holiday, I think it actually disproportionately affects him, even compared to other point guards that would kind of combo off and turn into shooting guards. Just because with Boogie and Davis, you just get so many free assists where you just like pass the ball to them. They do all the work, but they only dribbled once, so you get an assist for it. So I think Rondo, you know, actually does create shots for others, even though he's older and, you know, probably has lost a step or two himself. I think that if he winds up being unleashed, playing the 30 to 32 minutes a game that I suspect he will in somewhat short order here, I think he'll be a tremendous value on this price. I mean, and this game is going to be, it's going to be a very tempting one. I could see this being the game where he kind of goes off and the price jumps to 6,400 going forward, but I'm not sure if I have the cojones, Doug, to roll him out here, given the inconsistency in minutes so far.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put him at 30 minutes and just kind of see where the cards lie. And I think it's going to be really close. And this would be one where I'll kind of read some industry stuff too, to see if like, cause I can see people, I can see like, this is just, if this is just the matchup where the minutes increase and it's just the perfect kind of thing, then 5,500, like you said, 5,500 is going to look real low. I think pretty soon. So if there's a time, I don't always love being early on speculation like this. This strikes me as there's little downside in being early, right? Like, cause like even at 26 minutes, 5x for him is kind of in the cards, with the idea that you could really crush it if this is the game he plays 34. So there's sometimes I don't mind. I want to take a wait and see approach with Rondo on this one. I suspect I could talk myself into just being like going a little bullish on the minutes and then just being like, hey, he might be a play. And I doubt we'd get completely crushed on anything you like on the Suns side of the ball. It's not like New Orleans is all that good on defense. Suns, now they have like this weird big man trifecta where you never know who's going to play. Their minutes kind of been over the place. Anything you like there?
Well, I'm scrolling through the Suns here. I don't know that there's anything that jumps off the page. They kind of run in that same, you know, of the players who actually play, they run in that same Minnesota corollary where it's guys like Devin Booker and TJ Warren, who just, we know what their minutes are going to be probably, but they're probably just too expensive for their average production. It's not to say you can't roll them out in a spot like this. It's just that you're not really getting away with very much. And I think that, you know, outside of that, the point guard minutes have been spread around between James and Ulis. Both are priced attractively if one of the other were to sit, but I unfortunately don't think there's even in a game with such a high total. I misspoke earlier. This game has the highest total overall, and both of these teams are both even higher, I think, than Golden's or than Cleveland's overall total. So there's by per Vegas, there's a lot to be spread around on the Suns, but I just don't know if it's concentrated in a very efficient way on a points per dollar basis.
And the final game is a 10:30 game, and it's Golden State minus 18.5 against Chicago. Mm-hmm. You have some serious blowout risk. Now, I'm wondering your thoughts here. I think there's some chance that we see a Golden State guy sit today. Durant sat recently because he had, I think, an ankle issue. I don't know if Curry hasn't sat in a while. I don't think Clay sat at all this season. I'm completely speculating on this. There's no early news on it. The reason I'm saying it, though, is because they're huge favorites, and they actually are in a back-to-back where they play tomorrow. And if you're going to look to just kind of sneak out a schedule win here, because you're playing like arguably the worst team in basketball at home, it just is a huge favorite. Do you think huge? I think the Golden State guys, let me preface by saying, I think if they all play, you're too much in the blowout zone against them. But if they were to sit somebody, do you think that's a possibility? And two, otherwise you kind of fade in this team kind of in general.
I'm going to fade the team in general for cash game purposes. I'm pretty sure, they can really tell me whatever they want to tell me, but the fact that they're going to win by 20 points, like, I think is this the highest total on the season or the highest spread? I think it might be.
It's the highest one I can remember. It's the highest one I can remember seeing.
I think it's the highest one I can remember seeing full stop. So from that perspective, it's going to make it probably the riskiest game to target on the slate. Very, very easy. And even Golden State's second unit can probably tear up Chicago. So you could definitely see a situation where the second unit comes in at, jumping in from the first to second quarter and extends the lead, and then they already come in a little bit later. I could see some really bad performances from the Golden State guys. I mean, from that perspective, I don't think we want to guess like, ooh, maybe someone will sit outside of your big tournament things. If we get news that, say, Durant is going to sit, would you at that point want to play the other Golden State guys, or would you still be concerned about a blowout?
Still be concerned about the blowout. Golden State's just that good. They can blow teams out with sitting one of their stars. Chicago's just that bad, right? So I'd still be concerned about it, but it would at least make it more interesting, because once we put in some on-court, off-court kind of usage stuff in there, it might bump them into it when we take a look at them compared to the overall line. And I'd still probably be concerned about it just because. And then some of the Chicago guys, if you think you want to look, you want to try to get a hot hand off the bench, like with a Portis, or you think Markkanen just kind of plays his minutes if they're getting blown out or not, I think some of those guys are somewhat at value, and it's pretty risky because Chicago's pretty bad and Golden State's pretty damn good on defense. All right, we're going to get out of here. DFSR.com/NBA. No Black Friday sale, so you can go over DFSR.com/NBA and grab
at the very same price you're used to getting, which is already pretty damn cheap, okay? So don't be one of those people that always needs a Black Friday sale. Just make a smart decision and buy the right product, which is our service.
You said it better than I ever could. All right, go check out our football podcast as well. We'll be back again talking basketball next week. Enjoy your weekend of basketball, everybody, and we'll talk to you later.